Genesis chapter 4, please. Genesis chapter 4. Such encouragement to see you here today. We're going to continue this series that we've been in from the book of Genesis, and we've been talking about origins. And so today we'll talk about Cain and Abel. The story of Cain and Abel is found in Genesis 4. And let's read these verses, beginning at verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have required a man from the Lord. Now let's just stop there. What that means is this. God made this. God made this baby inside of me. That's exactly what she's saying. Amen. Then she bore again, and this time, a brother, Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the first fruit of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. What a sad, sad story. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he, God, and he said, what have you done? Can you hear that? What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Alexander the Great was a great general. He conquered the known world of his day. He had a friend by the name of Cletus. Cletus was one of his top generals. One day they were at a party or whatever they were doing, and they all got drunk. And Cletus was making remarks about the great Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great and Cletus had been friends from this childhood all the way through. And he was a great general for Alexander the Great. And so that made Alexander the Great mad. He got angry. And what he wanted to do was get Cletus' attention. So he took a spear and he threw it. What he wanted to do with this spear is just get close enough to Cletus to get his attention. But his aim was true. And with lightning speed, the spear went into the heart of Cletus and killed him. Alexander the Great regretted that. For days and days after that, all he could do was just cry out the name of Cletus. History tells us that with that same spear that he killed his friend with, that Alexander the Great attempted to kill himself with the same spear because he could not carry the guilt and the pain of what he did. And so his comrades kept him from doing that. But what that illustrates to us is Alexander the Great was a man that could not control his anger. We look in the Bible today at this story and we see a man by the name of Cain who could not control his anger. Now, what I'm going to do today is this. I'm going to talk to you about the narrative here. We're doing narrative preaching. Before I get going, though, I want to give you the New Testament interpretation of this story, okay? It's important to see this. In 1 John 3:12, listen to this verse. This is what the New Testament says about this story. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. So that's the New Testament interpretation of Cain. What you see in the story of Cain and Abel is a story that represents two different diverse kinds of people. So we see Cain. Here's what the New Testament says about Abel. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man who God spoke well of, his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. In Cain, we see the people who reject God. We see the people who reject God's way of salvation through the sacrifice of his son Jesus Christ. In Abel, we see the people who believe. He is a type of a believer, a person who puts personal faith in God and trust in God. Now, this is historical narrative. Cain and Abel is a historical fact. This is history. But there's also spiritual truth in this story that we need to see. And what I'm going to attempt to do today is bring this together. Okay, that's what I'm going to attempt to do. Now, we know that Cain and Abel were brothers. Some people think that they were twins. We don't know that they were if they were twins or not. We don't know that. We also know that Adam and Eve had other children. We know they had daughters. We know they had other sons. Adam lived to be 930 years old, so you can imagine how many sons and daughters, you know, through the years that he had. But Cain was the first. Cain was the first one born. And so to begin with, you know, think about his beginning, and what Eve is saying is, God, give me this child. This is a child that God's given me, but that's really about the only good thing we can say about Cain. Because what you see is that this thing of anger that we all know too well, this emotion of anger really controlled his life. And so the Bible tells us that these two brothers brought their offering to the Lord. And what happened was a problem arose here because God received one offering, but he rejected the other. And so that was a problem between these two brothers. In verse 5, the Bible tells us that God rejected Cain's offering and that Cain became very angry. In verse 6, God asked Cain, "Why are you angry?" And Cain was angry because really he wanted his own way. He was angry because he thought he could come to God on his own terms and on his own way. God rejected his offering, and so Cain was very angry about that. Folks, I want to tell you, God makes the rules. Amen. And what he says is this: there's only one way to me, and that is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our relationship with God, the only way that we can have that relationship is come God's way, and that is through the cross, that's through Jesus Christ. So Cain was angry, and he knew what God had commanded. Adam and Eve knew what it was to worship God. They learned that in the Garden of Eden. They had taught these boys what it was to worship God. Abel knew the way. Cain knew the way. Abel came the right way. He came the way that God had commanded that we are to worship him and bringing our offering to Him and bringing our gift to Him and bringing our sacrifice to Him. Abel brought the right thing. Now, we don't bring animal sacrifices today. But when we bring our offering to God, we bring our service to Him. We bring our praise to Him. We bring our ministry to Him and what we do. We bring our attitudes to Him when we gather together. That's what we offer Him. That is our sacrifice. That is our gift. You're giving that to God this morning in worship and being here in church today. That is your offering to God. And so the Bible teaches us how to worship God. But what Cain wanted to do, he wanted to do it his own way and go his own way. And really, that's what people do that reject God. A rejection of God is rejection of His worship. It's a rejection of the Bible. It's a rejection of the commandments of God and the Word of God. So that's what you see in the life of Cain. In verse 6, the Bible says that his countenance fell. See, he was determined to have his own way. He wanted, his own deal there. And he wanted to do it his way rather than anybody else's way. So his countenance fell. So in verse 7, the Lord came to him. And what God is doing here, He's offering him grace. He says, now, you do well. Will you not be accepted? You know, if you do well, the offering will be accepted if you do well. If you don't do well, then sin lies at the door. Now, doing well simply means this. It means bringing the right sacrifice to God. And so what God's doing here, even though in the beginning what Cain did was to, you know, he wanted to do his own way, but here's where you see the grace of God. God's given him another chance. He's saying, Abel, he's saying, Cain, you brought the wrong thing, but I'm going to give you another chance. And that is God's grace. I'm glad that we serve a God of a second chance. I really am. I mean, He's given me chance after chance after chance. Grace after grace after grace. I mean, that's what we see in this story. But even that, at that, Cain still would not, he would not come God's way. God not only rejected the sacrifice that He brought because it wasn't what God required, a blood animal sacrifice. And on that day, what the blood sacrifice pointed to in the New Testament was the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, the only thing that can take away sin. And so even at that, knowing what he needed to do, he still would not do it. His countenance fell. He was all discouraged. He was all depressed. He got all mad. He was mad at God who he could not kill. He became mad and angry at his brother who he could kill. And that's what's going on here. So he still wouldn't come God's way. But I want you to see what God says here to him. Look at verse 7. Sin lies at the door. Cain, if you don't get hell on this, sin is going to destroy you. If you don't control this anger, it will kill you. It will devastate you. It is at the door. Now, the image is this. It's like a crouching lion or a savage animal to when you open the door, it's ready to pounce on you. And folks, that's what sin is. And that's how it works. And he says this. He says, what you've got to do is close the door. And I'll say to all of us here today, what we need to do with sin is close the door on sin. We've got to close the door on temptation. So Cain didn't do that, even though he knew what God had said here. You really need to get a handle on this. He said, and his desire, verse 7 again, his desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Cain, you've got to get control of this thing. If you don't get a handle on this thing, then it's just going to, it's going to really wind up in a bad way. Now, we know that the only way that we can control it is through the power of Christ. If it's anger, if it's bitterness, if it's jealousy, if it's, whatever it is, I mean, you can name whatever it is you want to, but, God helps us control that. And so he urged him, not to open that door, but he went down the path of self-destruction. Again, think about what the New Testament says about this. The New Testament says Cain represents people who reject God. Abel represents true believers who come to God in faith, believe in Him, come the right way, do the right thing. You either open the door or you shut the door. Jesus said there's one door to heaven. That's through Him. That's the door we go through. That's the right door to go through. But what Cain did was to go through that door of self-destruction. He rejected God. He rejected the sacrifice. He rejected God's way of how He wanted to do it. And so God was telling Cain over and over again, Cain, come back to me. Come to where you need to be with me. I don't know who said this, but it's been said this way, that anger is the acid that can harm the vessel in which it is stored even more than the person on whom it is poured. Folks, we live in an angry world. There's just so much anger in the world today. And what makes anger so dangerous is it's so sudden. That anger can lead us to act in a sudden way. And so you see it here in this story that this anger just overtook Cain. And the Bible tells us in verse 8 that Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Now wonder what they were talking about. Everything on the outside may have looked fine, but it came to pass when they were in the field that anger just took over and Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and he killed him. Do you see the devastating thing of that? And so anger, really, you know, it comes from a short fuse. In Genesis 4, we come face to face with sinful anger, the kind of anger that, like I said, that we're so familiar with. So what can we do with anger? How can we handle that? Well, here's a practical thing I want to give you from this story. First of all, we don't nurse it. You can't nurse anger. I mean, you just can't keep going over and over and over and over and over and over it again. Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to these verses. Ephesians 4. And listen to verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. In other words, there's some things we need to be angry about. Angry about sin, angry about injustices in life and things like that, but we don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't nurse it. Don't keep rehearsing it. Don't let it keep going over and over in your mind. And usually the way it happens is this: I can't believe what that person said. I can't believe what they did to me. And over and over and over again. The Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And he says this in verse 27, not to give place to the devil. You know, of the seven deadly sins that's found in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, I really think anger is the one that we hold on to the most, because it's probably the one we love the most. This anger had really captured the life of Cain to the point that it took over his life, and eventually what he did was to kill his own brother. You know what Jesus said about anger in the New Testament? And he said this in a spiritual way, not in a physical way. But Jesus tells us this. He says, if you're angry at your brother in your heart, Jesus said you've already committed murder, is what he said. So we don't converse about anger. We just don't keep talking about it. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25, listen to this verse. Make no friendship with an angry man, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. So how do we reverse it? How do we reverse this? Well, there's three takeaways here that I want to share with you, okay? Number one, we got to believe from this story that God is good. When I think about God, the way I think about God is His goodness and His greatness. God provided a way for people to worship Him, to have a relationship with Him, even after the fall in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were put out of the garden. The Bible tells us that an angel with a flaming sword was put there so that they could not go back into the garden. And so what God did was this, to provide a way for people to have a relationship with Him in spite of the fall in the Garden of Eden. In the Old Testament, that was the way of a sacrifice. To bring the sacrifice was a sacrifice of blood that had to be made. But listen to this now. All those sacrifices in the Old Testament could never cover sin. They could never take away sin. The book of Hebrews tells us there's only one sacrifice that could do that, and that is Jesus Christ. Do you see the goodness of God? God wants to have a relationship with you. What He did in order to have that relationship was to send His Son, Jesus Christ. And even, you know, after Cain committed this murder, I mean, you look at it here in the story, and God keeps coming back to him and coming back to him. And Cain keeps rejecting him. He's rejecting the goodness of God. He's rejecting this relationship that God wants with him. He wants to go His way. And folks, here's what the Bible teaches us from this story and other passages in the Bible. If you want your own way and you want to go your own way, then God will eventually say, okay, you can have your way. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 4, in verse 16, that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Now think about how sad that is. He didn't want that relationship with Him. He didn't want to go God's way. Adam and Eve had told him about everything that the garden was, the Garden of Eden was, how their relationship with God was, what worship to God was, and all that. But he went out from all of that to say no to God and to say no to the goodness of God. And so what we learn here is, you know, God doesn't play favorites. We come to Him on His terms. Second truth here, we've got to own our own behavior. Cain had the opportunity, you know, to really deal with this. God kept coming to him, you know, what have you done? Where are you? Why did you do this? So over and over again, you know, God is reaching out to Cain. But Cain will never own up to his own behavior. See, it wasn't just the fact that he brought the wrong sacrifice. It was the attitude of his heart. You see, what God looks at in you and me is our attitude. What Cain should have done was to fall on his face before God and say, oh God, I have sinned. I've committed murder. I have taken the life of my brother. But you don't see that there. There's no repentance. There's no sorrow for sin. There's no thought on his mind that he's done anything wrong. But he never would own up to his behavior. He went a different direction. He rejected God's offer of salvation. And that's why the New Testament says that Cain, don't go the way of Cain. Don't be like Cain. Why? Because Cain rejected God. There's a third truth here. And that is this. We need to trust in God's grace. God's grace is freely available. It was available to Cain. It was available to Abel. Abel received it. Cain did not. God gave Cain opportunity after opportunity, but he rejected that. And so he did not trust in the grace of God. When I think about the story of Cain and Abel, it really brings sadness to my heart. Because Cain was the first man born. But I want you to see in this story how, even from the Garden of Eden, I mean, look how much sin has escalated. Look how far it's gone. Look how deep it is. And you see it here, you know, in the beginning of civilization. And then you get the Genesis chapter 6, and what does God do? God sends the flood. And from the generations, from the beginning to the flood, you know how many people were saved? Eight people. Only eight people were saved. Noah and his family. So, there's a problem. And what this story teaches us is that our greatest problem is sin. And the only hope and the only answer is in the atonement of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Grace is not grace until we come face to face with our sin. We are saved by grace through faith and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we begin that relationship with Him. You see, folks, there's a way. And God's made a way. And if you want to have that relationship with Him, you can. But in closing, just let me say this too. In this story, there's just so much here that I can't deal with today. But what you see in this story is something very real in our culture today. Just like Cain, the world has an anger toward God's people. Jesus said this. He said, in the world, you're going to have persecution. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And you see that anger demonstrated in our culture today. Why do you think they don't want Bibles in the schools? Why do you think that there's all this controversy about praying in public at a public meeting or whatever? It's because of the anger that folks hold. The anger really is directed against God. Cain's anger was directed really toward God, but he took it out on his brother. And see, that's as Christians today. That's where the persecution comes, because there's an anger against God. When we were in the beginning of this series, I talked about Darwin. And what I said about Darwin was what he said himself. He said, you know, he didn't have a problem believing in God. But he said his problem was believing in the God of the Bible. And that was his problem. You know why? Because Darwin wanted to go the way of Cain. He didn't want to come God's way. Darwin didn't believe that he was a sinner. Darwin didn't believe that he needed repentance. He didn't believe that he needed a blood sacrifice on the cross to save him from sin. See, that's where he wouldn't come to. You can believe in God. And just our culture today, you know, you can redefine God and you can make God be what he wants to be, but you'll not get to heaven that way. The only way is just like Abel, to come to God his way in faith and trust him. And that's the invitation today. Come to Him His way. Establish that relationship with Him. Trust in His grace. That's the only way that we're going to get to heaven. Okay? Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank you for this message today from your word. And God, there's just so many truths here in this story today. There's just so many ways that you can go with it. But Father, I just pray that you'd help us to believe in your goodness, tone up our own behavior, and to trust in your grace. Lord, that's where we need to be this morning. We thank you that you have made a way that we can have a relationship with you. We thank you that that is through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, today I pray for those who need to come and establish that relationship. Those who need to come and put faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, our greatest need is to have forgiveness of sin. And the only way that is possible is through the death of Christ on the cross. Lord, today we just thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your greatness. I just thank you for your grace in my life over and over again. You've demonstrated your grace so many times. And I just want to thank you for that. And Lord, that's just because you love us. And you love us so much that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. That is grace. Father, today as believers, I pray that we can learn a lesson from Cain here today. And that is this. We've got to learn to control these things that would destroy our lives. We've got to get a handle on it. Whatever the emotion may be today, what the example is today is one of anger. It could be that. It could be something else. But Lord, through your power and through your strength, we've got to get a control of it. Because if we don't, it'll take us to a place where we don't want to be. And Father, I pray that we would acknowledge that to you. I pray today that you would help us in our behavior and help us, Lord, deal with these things that get us off track. We need your help. In your name we pray. Amen.